Hello everybody, my name is Sayed Moan, and this is Moan's Guide to Talk for Wednesday, 12th of January, 2022. As of next week, we'll be dropping new episodes every Wednesday instead of twice a week. It's quite tiring to do two episodes in a week, and I've got lots of things going on personally, so hopefully it won't impact this podcast. If you want to get the next episode, obviously, without hassle, subscribe wherever you're listening right now. If you're on Apple or Spotify or Google, just click the little subscribe button if that's available, and you'll get the next episode without an issue. Anyways, in today's episode, the OnePlus 10 Pro launches in China, Exynos 2200 has been delayed and might launch with the S22 series, a hit word puzzle has resulted in tons of knockoff apps, which has been taken down by Apple in a way. Spoiler alert, Canon has been having issues with their actual cartridges, their genuine cartridges being sort of looked at as fakes, kind of, you could say. So that was pretty funny. And finally, I will talk about Maserati entering Formula E in 2023, which is pretty interesting. But without further ado, let's get rolling, shall we? First things first, in mainland China, OnePlus has finally launched the OnePlus 10 Pro, a significant jump from the 9 Pro. For starters, this phone features the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1, along with a 6.7-inch QHD Plus AMOLED 2nd-gen LTPO display. It's AMOLED, but also has LTPO, but it's 2nd-gen, so again, apparently it's a pretty big jump in quality. With 120Hz refresh rate, for memory, you've got 8 or 12GB of LPDDR5 RAM, with either 128 or 256GB of storage. For cameras, there's a triple camera setup at the rear, a main 48-megapixel IMX789 sensor with an aperture f1.8, along with a 50-megapixel JN1 ultra-wide-angle sensor with a field of view of 150 degrees and an 8-megapixel telephoto sensor. On the front, you have a 32-megapixel IMX615 sensor with an aperture of f2.4. There's the features developed with Hasselblad. We've talked about it in the previous episode, so do check that out after listening to this. For power, you have a 5,000 mAh battery with 80-watt wired fast charging, along with 50-watt wireless fast charging. The OnePlus 10 Pro comes with ColorOS 12.1, Oppo skin of Android in China instead of Occident OS. It comes in either black and green with a sandstone finish, which is quite typical for a OnePlus phone. Now you're probably wondering about prices, since it's launching first in China. The OnePlus 10 Pro will start at 4,699 yuan. That's about for the base spec, 120 gig variant, which is about $737, with the maxed out spec costing around $831. This phone will have its first flash sale on January 13th, as it was written somewhere, for the Chinese market, but it'll just be available after January 13th generally. They've not revealed when this will launch worldwide, but I'd probably assume, or it's most likely going to be available around springtime, like previous OnePlus models. I've read somewhere that the Chinese variant of the OnePlus 10 Pro is just a little different from its global variant. Hopefully, it's just different. It's just with the software and storage and just the little things that would just make the OnePlus phones different in China from, say, the global variant, such as the OS. Hopefully, it's just with the storage and software. So, pretty cool little phone. So, moving on. Yesterday, Samsung was supposed to show off the Exynos 2200 chip. There was a whole event that Samsung planned, and they announced it last month, at the end of December, kind of, that they were going to do an event on 11th January, showcasing the Exynos 2200 chip, the AMD graphics inside the RDNA 2 GPU chip that's supposed to take on whatever Qualcomm is supposed to bring to the table, and that the Exynos 2200, and this processor is interesting, that it's going to go on the S22 and the Galaxy Z folding phones that will obviously come down the road being flagship devices. So this was Samsung's flagship AP, as they tend to call it, or processor in my own words. But there was no press conference or announcement from Samsung. But now, we've gotten a reason behind the no-show that everyone saw. And it's because they want to show off the Exynos 2200 at the launch of a certain new Samsung phone. If you're reading between the lines, we all know too well which new phone it is. It's in a few weeks. According to Business Korea, which mentioned a statement from a Samsung official stating, quote, "We are planning to unveil the new application processor at the time of launching a new Samsung smartphone," and further coding, "there are no problems with the AP's production and performance." The official went on further to say, "The new GPU is expected to resolve the problems of the Exynos 2100, which is the previous high-end processor that was in the S21 series, and we intend to sharpen our competitiveness by loading GPUs for games into mobile devices." I've read a bit into this delay, further sort of reading up what everyone else has been saying, and some folks are saying that it's more or less to do with certain performance issues, that Samsung could be offering the S22 series with only the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 chip instead of either the Exynos or Snapdragon chips. This sounds like wild speculation, but I believe that Samsung could be looking to launch the Exynos 2200 at Samsung Unpacked on February 8th. Instead of just offering the Snapdragon chip, they could do it, obviously. Nothing stopping Samsung from doing that. They'd not lose a lot of money from giving people a pretty speedy chip, but again, you gotta understand that it's not how Samsung works. Or again, I don't know how it would go about. According to the Samsung official, there's no issues with the production. They're not running out of processors to make in a way. It's not affected by chip shortages in any way, thankfully. But I would honestly go with the claim that they'll just show it off on February 8th. So it's a pretty interesting development nonetheless. Alrighty, let's move on. XDA Developers claims that the Motorola Razr 3 could be coming in flagship specs. I've said Motorola. You could also call it Moto. How do you call Motorola? You say it Moto or Motorola or Lenovo? I'd love to know. You know where to send your comments. According to sources, the Razr 3, which is, again, they're claiming will come with flagship specs. If we read through the specs that they're claiming here, first of all, the Razr 3 would have the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 chip. Pretty surprising, the step up from a mid-range chip. The first Motorola Razr, this folding one, not the original, but the folding version, had, why am I saying folding version? It's a foldable. The foldable variant of the Motorola Razr, the first generation, came with like a mid-range chip. I think it was a 765. I don't remember exactly, but it was a 700 series processor. And the fact that they're jumping to the 8 Gen 1 chip is interesting. Along with a 6.7-inch FHD Plus folding display, along with a dual camera setup at the back, a 50-megapixel primary and 13-megapixel ultra-wide, giving those crispy shots. Now, how I'm imagining it, I'm sure there might already be renders of this, or it might be a slightly better designed version of the original folding Razr, but where the cameras are, you have two sensors, and it's like maybe it could look like the Moto Edge, like the newer Moto Edge phones that are coming out with the bezels and everything, and they're moving things around and seeing what ticks. Who knows? Maybe it's gonna be a little bit like the Z Flip 3. Probably a match between that and the P50 Pocket. Oh well, I don't know. We don't know how it actually looks. But aside from that, there's also a 32 megapixel selfie camera, but it's in a punch hole notch this time around. It'll have 5G ultra wideband tracking and NFC available, along with 128, 256, or 512 gigabytes of storage, with 6, 8, or 12 gigabytes of RAM. There's three options. I think they'll probably pair three different options. So 628, 8, 256, 12, 512. And I think I'm getting the sense that this will be a global product. This will be launching globally. So the smaller sizes, sort of the smaller variants, you know, the more base specs will be for emerging markets. And then the maxed out stuff, the 12, 512, will be for the US and China, potentially. Who knows? Given the specs we have, they're looking to offer a serious flagship that's also a folding flip phone. Just like the original Razr tended to be a premium phone. It was fancy. It was a statement piece. It was something you had to have. Like, I mean, people like Paris Hilton had a Motorola Razr when it was in at that time, back in the early 2000s. I was a little baby back then, obviously. I just knew it was Moto Moto, so, you know. There's the allure of the Razr. But yeah, this is a significant bump up from the previous variants of the Razr Foldable. But yeah, I'm pretty excited to see what they're bringing to the table, and hopefully it has good value for money this time around. So, yeah. So hopefully, this time, third time's a lucky charm, they say. So hopefully, that's pretty obvious. And while we're already talking about upcoming rumored phones, the Poco X4 family of phones has gotten its FCC and ECC certification. So ECC, I believe, is the Russian equivalent of the FCC. And the Poco X4 phones have gotten certified by both bodies, which means they'll be launching it pretty soon, in the next couple of months. Aside from that, Digital Chat Station on Weibo has said that the Xiaomi Mix Fold 2, not the Mi Mix Fold 2, but the Xiaomi Mix Fold 2 will get an upgraded display. Apparently, the outer display will be similar to a regular phone display. This is quite like the displays on the Honor Magic Wii, which we talked about in a previous episode. Check that also. I mean, it's a pretty interesting phone. The Mix Fold 2 will have 120Hz refresh rate on the inner foldable display. But yeah, this phone will be a premium flagship foldable, that's for sure. And now, we're coming over to what's really an interesting story in a way. And I'm sure if you've ever used a printer, and if you're listening to this, you're probably using it, or you've used it yesterday, or you use a, if you've ever used a printer, you know there's the typical issue with cartridges. You gotta change them out. You know that their costs, they're really expensive as it is, and all that kind of stuff. And now we have the newest victim of the global chip shortage, and a very unlikely victim. You want to take a guess of what thing has suffered from the global chip shortage? It's not a games console, that's for sure. But you couldn't get a PS5 already, but this one is interesting. I'll give you another second to guess. It's Canon's genuine cartridges. Yes, you heard that right. They're official cartridges. Well, you can't make this stuff up. Canon can't find verification chips, which does tell the printer that it's the real deal cartridges, and it tells the levels and everything. But honestly, it's not really like the fakes and all that kind of stuff. For its official cartridges, the little chips that tell them a whole bunch of things about the cartridges. So they've been shipping the cartridges without the chip, resulting in error messages when inserting them. And now Canon has addressed this fault on our support page and wrote, due to the ongoing global shortage of semiconductor components, Canon's currently experiencing challenges in procuring specific electronic components that are used in our consumable products for our multifunction printers. These components perform such functions as detecting remaining toner levels. To ensure you enjoy a continuous and reliable supply of consumables, we have chosen to supply consumable products without the semiconductor component until normal supply resumes. While there is no negative impact on print quality while using consumables without electronic components, certain ancillary features, functions such as the ability to detect toner levels, may be affected. Now, this is a little bit understandable. The shortages are beyond our control, but they went on to share the steps to bypass these errors. Simply speaking, if there's an error popped up on your printer after you put in the cartridges, you just click agree or close on it. You tap agree or close, and that's about it. This is a little ridiculous, to be honest with you. Frankly speaking, it's a bit ridiculous. Oh, and according to The Verge, they wrote this up, and they wrote in their piece, there's an article going on, there's a lawsuit going on in the US where a user couldn't use his printer for scanning documents because it was out of ink, and that the user decided to take Canon to court over this. I mean, to call it a trendy TikTok sound, pull up in Sri Lanka, what? Though, this issue with the genuine cartridges is affecting Canon's workplace. Multifunction printers, you could say, but this is just ridiculous on a whole other level. I mean, like, The supply chain crisis is a little ridiculous, if you know what I mean. And speaking of that, according to Bloomberg, Sony is going to continue producing the PS4 for a little longer than usual, owing to PS5 shortages. Their strategy is to make 1 million PlayStation 4s this year, apparently, so that Sony could get a better deal with its manufacturing partners by producing both the PS4 and the PS5. You know, if they're able to have that kind of volume, then they can sort of, and apparently the PS4 doesn't use ultra complex chips that the PS5 does. It doesn't have the RDNA kind of processor, RDNA2 processors that are in quite short supply. Not so surprised, and well, there are still some people who want to play on a PlayStation 4. I mean, it won't make much of a difference if you ask me. We haven't seen any massive major games for the PS5 that take advantage of all that horsepower of the PlayStation 5. And, you know, we've been in that peculiar situation because of COVID, kind of. And if there are any good high-fidelity games, you can then play them on the PC. So, purpose defeated. So, yeah. So, I guess some folks will end up buying a gaming PC or a PS4 Slim if this goes on for much, much longer than usual. One thing I would say, though, the Xbox Series S is probably like the only other kind of, like, say, console you can now get like at regularly, like in stores without any issues. I was at a totally random supermarket the other day. It's not far from where I live, but it was totally random in Bahrain, kind of. It's a bit similar to Rami's, you could say, in terms of what it is, like in terms of products and the market, but. I mean, as I entered the electronics section, they had an Xbox Series S for sale, like, as it is. It was slightly marked up, obviously, like as it is in Bahrain with consoles. Some stores sell them at a markup, because it does cost a lot of money to import them, obviously. But it was bizarre, strangely, after a year of seeing Xboxes at, like, well over their recommended retail price. What I do know in a place like Bahrain, kind of, judging from prices in neighboring countries in the Gulf, the Xbox Series X would start at 215-ish, I think, 200. But then the black market prices are like, not double, but you could say about 1.5x more. So you'd have to pay 100 extra or something. It's so ridiculous. It's quite like what you get in the US right now. $500 for the console. When you go to buy on eBay, it's like $800-$900. So you'd rather build a PC at that price, if you know what I'm talking about. I mean, assuming you don't have any issues with getting a system with an APU and all that kind of stuff, you can make a good gaming PC where you don't need to use GPU. You can get a nice Ryzen APU. Kind of going off topic here, but you can get a nice Ryzen APU, Ryzen 5 APU. You can get RAM, and SSDs are cheap as hell right now. And you can get a whole system for like under $1,000. So why spend a little bit way too extra for a disc edition PS5? You can get a decent PC that can let you do tons of things. You can play lots of games. And if you and best of all, with PCs, and I'm a bit of a PCMR guy, okay? You can play Xbox games. Horizon Zero Dawn is on PC, and God of War. So if you ever wanted to play those PS4 titles, you can play it on the PC. Just saying, okay? I digress. So, just letting you know, it's something worth mentioning in a way. All right. In the past week or so, there was a word game called Wordle, or Wordle, or how do you pronounce it? Wordle. You gotta say it like, you know, Wordle. That's blown up on Twitter and all over social media and over the internet, and it's a sensation. I played it earlier today, and I lost, and also update since I wrote this, I played it again since another puzzle came out, and I lost, but I was very close, you could say. Anyways, this game is made by a developer called Josh Wardle. It's free to play on a website. The link is in the show notes. I will put it if you want to play it. It's a pretty cool, it's a fun game. Do play your friends and family. It's kind of like Scrabble, but on a whole nother level. Oh well. But, and a big, big but, there's no mobile app for the game, just the website. But that hasn't stopped some opportunistic devs from creating their own versions and charging absurd amounts of money in a way. One such developer, and we gotta, Shame. We got a name shame, you know. Oh well. One such person or developer was Zach Schacht, that's his name. I'm not pronouncing it horribly wrong. It's Schacht, the double K in the name. Who created such an app for iOS called Wordly, the app, as it is, Wordly the app, all in one sentence, which was free on the App Store. Then when you use the app, it asks users to sign up for a $30 pro subscription which came with a free 3-day free trial. So once you start the subscription, then you get 3-day free trial to give it a shot. It worked well for a bit, and then obviously Zach started to tweet, bragging, humble bragging, how successful the whole thing was. And I'll quote his tweet here, and it's a little ridiculous. I don't know if the tweet is still up. I think he deleted it because he felt a bit remorseful. Spoiler alert. But I'll read this one here. This is how dumb humans can be, and how much we tend to brag and all. This is absurd. 450 trials at 1 a.m. last night. Now at 9:50, and getting a new one every minute. 12,000 downloads, rank 28 in Word Game, and rank fourth, number 4 search result for Wordly in the App Store. We're going to the in Moon, that expletive, Moon. If you know the GameStop reference to the moon. Then everyone got pissed with the idea that someone was copying a dev's original idea and was charging ludicrous sums of money. And the person himself was like, I asked the original maker of the game and promised royalties and all, and he didn't agree to it. Then the app and all the clones got pulled from the App Store, and then the person apologized, tweeting, I realized I crossed a line, and I surely, surely will never do anything remotely close to this again. I. Up, so expletive up, We're a family-friendly podcast, so no swearing. Again, I'll point this out. There's no official app for Wordly. Do not download any apps that pretend to be Wordly. It's on a website. Again, I'll put the link to the official game in the show notes, okay? If you want to play this game, again, you can Google it if you want. Also, I have it in the show notes, so you can go check it out for yourself. I mean, it's just ridiculous that there are people who are like, oh, there must be an app for that. Without actually checking or Googling or being like, oh, there's an actual app and downloading it, because you never know. Whether it's iOS or Android, it could be a random app. It could come with viruses, with all sorts of malware. You never know. So, I mean, if the dev himself didn't make an application, then if it's too good to be true, then it is. It probably is. There can't be an app. So yeah. I'll put the link to the official Wordly thing in the show notes. You can check it out for yourself and try it for yourself and share it with your friends and family too, if that's what you're interested. And finally, Maserati, one of the most iconic Italian car brands in a way, on top of Ferrari and other major nameplates from Italy, is coming back into the world of motorsports, but especially the FIA Formula E World Championship. So for those who don't know what Formula E is, it's an all-electric open-wheel racing series. So it's not like Formula One. People tend to think it's the all-electric Formula One, and you'd be thinking, why didn't Tesla get into Formula E? But the problem is Tesla doesn't spend a lot of money on marketing, and motorsports is heavily about marketing if you think about it. So Tesla doesn't waste its time in Formula E and all. I mean, it's one dude's idea, so I mean, if Tesla wanted, they could do the entire series of called the Plaid Championship, like how Porsche does their own championships with their 911 cars, like the Porsche Cup. I honestly think Tesla would be only other like brand, but it's all electric, that can do like a all its very own kind of spec series, racing series. It could be called the Plaid Championship. Someone's gotta suggest Elon Musk this idea. I'd actually watch this tournament, the Plaid Cup. Like, who would be the fastest in a Tesla Model S Plaid? I'll watch it, and if I had millions of dollars, I'll make a team. And oh well, I mean, honestly, don't expect Tesla in Formula E, obviously. But Formula E essentially is an all-electric series. It's different for Formula One in that they exclusively race on street circuits, and some like dedicated circuits kind of that are made for that event in general. And it's about the environment, it's about being net zero, sort of being net zero on carbon emissions. And I mean, and again, it's a whole nother playing field. in racing, it's not the same, like compared to touring cars or Formula One. Those two fields are something else. Anyways, so Maserati is going to be racing in Formula E in 2023, in the 2023 season, that's season 9 essentially of the Formula E championship. We all know that all the major car brands are going electric in a way, and Formula E is a major marketing vehicle in a way to showcase, to essentially showcase your electrification capabilities, what you can do being all electric. They'll be joining the series with the Gen 3 car instead of Gen 2, which is currently what's running this year and last year. They're joining with Gen 3 car, which is apparently going to be the most efficient Formula E car ever, with a 350 kilowatt motor and 600 kilowatts of regen capability, and also, as I said, the car being net zero carbon, which is impressive. Now, this is a bit of a big deal as it's the first Italian brand to enter Formula E, but more than that, that Maserati is coming back. They've had a storied heritage of motorsport domination, taking part in Formula One and GT racing over its long history, there actually has been a world champion from a Maserati engine, Juan Manuel. I've watched a lot of Formula One. I know, should know Fangio. So, Juan. Yeah. So, Juan Manuel Fangio. So, Fangio won an F1 World Driver Championship in, I think, the 50s or 60s with a Maserati engine. So, this is a serious. They know more sports. They know how to race. That's for sure. But it's not as well known. It's not as well known as Ferrari in a way. But they're basically getting to Formula E to show off their electric performance chops. We don't know what team they'll be entering with or what this arrangement is. They've announced it, and obviously this is going to be a second brand from the Stellantis group to join Formula E. There's already one Stellantis division or sister concern that's in Formula E. That's DS, which is Citroën's performance division, DS Cheetah Tech. That's a famous team in Formula E, very well known in Formula E, kind of, you could say the Red Bull of Formula E, if you were to do parallels to Formula One. You know, Mercedes is in Formula E. And Nyck de Vries did really well in the past. He won the Formula E Driver Championship. So, I mean, that's interesting. But DS Cheetah is sort of its main rival, and DS is owned by Stellantis, obviously. That's why everyone knows. And Maserati is owned by Stellantis, also combined in that joint venture, sort of in that massive conglomerate. So that's pretty cool. I've read somewhere that Maserati will team up with Rocket Venturi, which is like already a sort of a well-known team. But BMW and Mercedes-Benz are pulling out Formula E in 2023. So who knows? By next year, there might be a team that could team up with Maserati. So, but then again, it's a pretty interesting development to see that the Trident is coming back to racing, to what made them really famous racing, but also being electrified, which is pretty interesting. I mean, there really is a lot of money involved doing a motorsports event that's basically about all electric vehicles and all electric performance, essentially winning, getting a podium with an all electric vehicle. You know, there's a lot of money involved, and there's more focus. Actually, I would say right now we're at that point where manufacturers are very interested, and they're gonna all have their works teams. So, again, it's a very interesting development, regardless. And this brings us to the end of the episode. What do you think of everything you've heard today? Let me know. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Sade underscore my own 99. Follow me there. Subscribe where you're listening right now on Apple, Spotify, Google, all the places, Pocket Casts, you name it. Even Facebook. Facebook does podcasts. So if you're listening over there, subscribe where you're listening right now so you don't miss another episode. And yeah, till next week, this is your boy Marlon signing out. Take care, stay safe, wherever you are, have a wonderful weekend.